from P.D. Ouspensky. And Ouspensky, again, you know, we've talked about so many people around the Gurdjieff work. Ouspensky basically writing the cornerstone book on Gurdjieff's work, In Search of the Miraculous. All right, here's the question that he got. Is it possible for great people in historical movements to escape from life? Now, Ouspensky believes in recurrence, that when we leave this life, we go right back to the beginning of it and we live through it again. And that we do this over and over again. And he studied something called the laws of Manu in Indian literature that convinced him this was true. So let's just get a little pinch of this. In most cases, it is too late for them to escape. They are dead already. They are almost losing their bones on the way, but they have to continue to exist and turn around. That is one of the mysteries of life that is governed by dead people. Next question. I do not see why big historical figures are so important that they must continue to recur even if when they become dead. Why wouldn't it be easy to find substitutes for them? Easy for whom? Evidently, they fit into some condition and so continue to go around in the same way even if they die, people take them for living beings. Perhaps it is their chief feature that they are dead. For they cannot make a mistake. They do exactly the same things as leaders over and over again. You speak of dead people recurring, but I thought essence could not die. And then he gives an explanation for this. Then this question. In thinking about life, we forget that many people are dead and that sleeping people easily can fall under the influence of dead people. Question. Are most people dead? Answer. This question was much discussed in our group in St. Petersburg. That's the Gurdjieff group. Some thought that most people were dead, but I always was against this. Everybody is asleep, but even in life, you find pleasant people who may not work through laziness, lack of opportunity, or something else, but they're not dead. How can dead people influence sleeping people? In comparison with sleeping people, they're very strong because they have no conscience and no shame. What makes ordinary people weak? Conscience and shame. Besides, if people are asleep, anything can happen to them. They can be stolen out of their beds. All people in life are asleep, but not all are dead. So what he's saying is he's kind of doing the big jump, which is if people are recurring, then you know the ones that are so far gone that when they recur, they just don't have any essence of soul left. So they are just vehicles for any kind of evil. But the thing is that when they are like that, if the other people who are recurring are going through their lives in a kind of sleepy, dazed fashion, they become victims of these people because of the difference in conscience, because those people are no longer awake to their conscience because they're dead. And so if they're powerful people who rise to these positions, this is taking the theory of eternal recurrence under consideration, then we're talking about dead people ruling other people who are alive but asleep. Okay, that's so, that's how Ouspensky rolls.
Everybody is talking about NPCs about this, but also Stephen Yui brings up body snatchers. So if somebody is dead, can you have a walk-in of some kind? Who can some inhabiting spirit occupy those, quote, dead people who are powerful?
It's really interesting. There's no question. I mean, we've seen it already with people who get very, this is kind of into Steiner territory, because he says that when Ahriman comes through, if humanity is not awake, if they're in a drowsy state when they confront him, then the entire evolutionary path of humanity gets thrown off. So therefore, when we encounter people who are on that level, you know, how many people who are sucked into virtual reality or, you know, already experiencing that separation of their minds from their bodies through addiction to technology or whatever, they become vessels for something else that can enter the more that they've vacated. And I think that's what he's getting at here. But I think it goes deep on recurrence when you think about it, because the idea of recurrence is like deja vu. You know, you have an experience, you're like, I feel like I've seen that person before. I know what they're going to say before they say it. Now, here's a twist on that. An eternal recurrence shows up in Nietzsche, but the esoteric fashion of it is Ouspensky's work. A twist on that is, in a reading, they asked Casey, at what point does our awareness take in events that are actually happening? And he says, some minds process events that are happening, and it takes 20 years for them to process. So these things have already taken place. So your mind is already just processing things that have happened. That's interesting, because again, that would provide also a kind of deja vu feeling. In theosophy, they say there's three types of dreams. One type of dream is just you sorting through the psychological aspects of your daily life. The second part of dreaming is based on your environment, you know, a loud noise, what you ate the night before. But the third part is outside of time and space. So it's you on the astral plane. You don't, you know, there is no time, there is no space. And so in that no time, no space, that's why you can have futuristic dreams. That's why you know so-and-so is going to call you tomorrow through that dream, or I saw so-and-so in the dream, because that part of the dreaming cycle isn't subject to time. So you're already there and doing it. So, you know, there are levels and pieces of this that have been left behind for us to explore, and we still have a long way to go.